Okay, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay, I see all our deacons are here this morning. Instead of sending an email out, see if we could figure out Tuesday the 21st for a thing at our house. I don't know if Tammy's working on Tuesday. No, I have to look. So Jan and I had an idea that we wanted to invite them over to our house. And after we talked to Mom and Dad and Paul and Debbie, I heard some laughing, and I guess they were kind of trying to plan that to surprise. But some people say great minds can think alike, and I usually say, and so can ours. So if that one works out, that'd be great. Okay, Hebrews 5 and then 2 Corinthians 13. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray to help us now as we open up a holy book. And Lord, I do pray that everyone's got a book to look at. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to honor your words. Help us to see what it says. Help us to know how to apply these things to ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Hebrews 5, verse 12 or 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby, or babe, some would say. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the last four verses of that letter also. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. And then in verse 14, you have the Godhead mentioned here. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Notice communion of the Holy Ghost. Now, in Hebrews, it mentions first principles of the oracles of God. These would be the fundamentals or the basics of the Christian life. If you know anything about, let's stick with the Baptist movement or whatever, but if you know anything about that, there are different factions of Baptist movements. You got, liberals, conservatives. Down in Madarieville, if you go down to Madarieville, you got a, hoot down there. You have, I was knocking on some doors down there, and you had a Baptist preacher, an Arminian, Baptist preacher, Arminian, Baptist preacher, hyper-Calvinist. I bet they had blessed neighbor reunions there. All right there. Okay, Arminian, that would be basically the philosophy there is that it's man that gets to choose to be saved, it's man that can lose it, it's all up to man, and the hyper-Calvinist says God does everything. So you got right there in the same street, One of them was a fellow that had been supposedly saved for 7 years, hadn't sinned in 70 years. So I knocked on his door, and I wanted to ask him about that verse in Ecclesiastes where it says, through much slothfulness the building decayeth and droppeth through. When your house is falling in, that just shows laziness. And I was going to ask him if laziness was a sin. But unfortunately, he went around. So I didn't get that opportunity. But if you travel through this country, you'll find some Bible-believing churches. All of them claim to be Bible believers. A lot of them do claim to be Bible believers. But if you sit down with most of the pastors and pastoresses nowadays, they may have a book on their pulpit or on their desk, and it may say Holy Bible on it. And then if you ask them, that book right there, that one right there, is that God's perfect word? You may be surprised, but probably 99% of them will say no. Some of them will shift around it. But if you pin them down, you'll probably get a good 99% that will admit that that book right there is not the perfect Word of God. Now, that few that do believe it's the perfect Word of God, some of them may advertise King James only, but that don't say a whole lot. But if you go across and if you ask the average church member, what do you expect from your pastor? Most of those crowds would say, well, I think he should visit the sick, and he's the one that, you know, helps folks and, you know, visits them and all that stuff. So that crowd, generally, they focus on him visiting the sick. If he doesn't do that, they don't think he's a good pastor. Now, if you go to the fundamental Baptist crowd, okay, fundamental Baptists would be some that would be more vocal about their beliefs. They might got knock on doors. That crowd, I was part of that crowd for a while. That crowd, if you actually attended their church for, say, 3 months, you're pretty much going to hear all that you're going to hear. I mean, that's about all they're going to give you. About 3 months time period. The first crowd that I mentioned, you can get theirs in about 2 weeks. Okay, now that crowd, what do they expect from their pastor? They expect soul winning. And he should talk about soul winning. And these are the fundamentals of their faith. And if you attend these churches, and if they do have some good people in these churches that do consistently obey what they call the fundamentals of the faith, you know, knock on doors, church attendance and things like that, and tithing, if they have a large number of people to draw from, they will build a big work. They can get numbers. If you get in the inner workings of that church, you will discover that there is often a turnover rate within the core of those churches. But yet they will still gain some numbers. Now, they expect their pastor to focus on soul winning. You know, church growth. Have all sorts of contests. Get people in church. That's what they expect. Now, the Bible believers are like my handle on often my websites, you know, if I get on like eBay, is my handle is 1611 Bible Thumper. Okay, that's my handle. Now, those guys that believe in the solid doctrines of the Bible, you will hear messages from them that will surprise you that the Bible actually says these things. They often are doctrinally sound, but practically silly. They're often doctrinally sound. You ever be around somebody who's so intelligent, so smart that they lack common sense? Some would say they're so smart, they're stupid. One of the compliments I take as a compliment was a young girl out in Colorado, and she said to her dad one time, "Mr. Hoffman went to college, and he's not stupid." You know, and what she was meaning by that is, and we go down to Purdue last night, we was down at Purdue, I was proud of my little daughter. I saw three people walking down the street, and one guy right in the center was a guy with a long white robe. I was tempted, I resisted, I almost bellered out, "Beware of the scribes who walk in long robes." You know, I was really thinking hard about that. But my little Lindsay gave a gospel tract and she went right to that guy. I was proud of her for that. But the Bible believers, they would promote the old King James Bible. And as far as these solid doctrines of the Word of God, you can go in a lot of these Bible-believing churches and you will hear some amazing truths of the Bible. Amazing things. This book is an amazing book the more you get into it. It's just phenomenal. And what the people of the Bible-believing churches expect of their pastor is that he's to study. Now, they have a valid reason for that. They're supposed to study. He's supposed to be. A good pastor that studies the Bible should be able to answer most of your Bible questions right on the spot. He should be able to give you chapter and verse. If he cites a passage in the Bible, often he should be able to tell you where it's at and even finish the verse for you, show you the chapter and verse, if he's good with his weapon. Now, this is to be our weapon. This is to be our sword. Doesn't a soldier know how to take apart his weapon and put it back together and keep it all oiled up? That's what our weapon is. So it's got proper divisions. Now, the thing is the problem in the Bible-believing churches is that They have solid Bible doctrine, but they're just so weak in just practical things of the Christian life. It's a very sad thing. They're solid on the Bible, but they're weak on some of the practical things. And the thing is the Bible wants us to have a balance between doctrine and instruction. And the problem in the Bible-believing churches is that the people have become complacent with what they hear from the Bible, and they get to a point where they expect a new doctrinal and spectacular revelation of the Bible. And after being here 14 years, you're not going to get it. I've taught that Adam and Eve did not eat an apple. The fruit that they probably took was a grape. The only forbidden fruit in the Bible is a vine tree. That's the most logical thing. That's a picture of receiving blood. I have taught that there's not just one worldwide flood, Noah's flood. There's two. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. That's quite clear to me. Some folks don't want to accept that idea. I don't care. I've taught the things in the Bible where you have some strange beings. The Bible talks about Zechariah chapter 5 about UFOs. And what are they? Those are some meaty things of the Bible. I've taught that in the Bible, people in the Old Testament are saved not by grace through faith, by leaning forward to the cross. They are saved through a faith and work system, just like they will be saved by a faith and work system in the tribulation time period. And when the Lord Jesus Christ establishes his kingdom, there will not be salvation by grace through faith. It will be a work salvation because faith is not needed when you can see the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are meaty doctrines of the Bible. And see, what a person, or what people tend to expect is here in this room, we have some folks who have just gotten saved, maybe a year or so, or have just came across this Bible-believing viewpoint of a year or two. And then we've got some that's been at it for a long time. The only way that all of us can get fed in some fashion is by the Spirit of God. That's the only way. And you see, in all of these churches that I've mentioned where some church expect the pastor to visit the sick, and the fundamentalists, they expect them to soul win and soul win and knock on doors and soul win and soul. They don't go street preaching, but that's what they expect. And in the Bible-believing churches, they expect them to study. But in all of these churches, you know, when somebody falls out of grace with God, meaning they lost their fellowship with the Lord, I'm not saying they lost their salvation or whatnot, but maybe they got at odds with some things, maybe they got in a rut, and all of these churches expect their pastor to be merciful and gracious and pray for that person, and he should. But when he has a problem, they're the first ones to pick up a rock and break that glass house that he's in, instead of praying for him and things like that. You say, well, he cracked the house. Okay, well, then you're still going to finish the project. Sadly, that's the way it is. Okay, and so that's just part of it. You understand that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, who gets blamed for all these weather troubles? God does. Who gets blamed for all your problems? It's God. People get mad at God. Most of my problems, I look in the mirror and I see the culprit. And that's where the culprit is. You see? And then there's sometimes you just recognize that as soldiers, you get shot. The enemy shoots at you. And they don't. The enemy in the Christian world don't have a proper ethics in war where you don't shoot our big guys, you just shoot the little guys. No, the devil aims for the brass button. But in matters of that, in Hebrews chapter 5, it mentions the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, I'm not going to get into the doctrine of Hebrews. Hebrews doctrinally is addressed to Hebrews in the last days. It's a tribulation letter, if you understand the doctrine of it. You see, that's the meaty doctrines of the Bible. But it says in Hebrews 5, it mentions the first principles of the oracles of God. There are some basics in the Christian life we need to all be doing all the time. I don't care how long you've been saved. It's not how long on this path of this Christian life a person has come. What's important to God is the direction that you're traveling. Now, these are the first principles of the oracles of God. It's very basic. There's no rocket science with this. The practical step for any new believer involves the key in any relationship, and the key in any relationship is communication, talking, fellowship. Now, I've got seven steps I want to give you this morning about seven steps for the basic steps for the believer. Seven steps. So 5 minutes of steps. So seven times five. 35 minutes. I give 10 minutes for each. So that's seven. Man, we're going to be sitting here for a while. No, it ain't going to be that long. The first three steps will help you fulfill your first and great commandment of the Bible. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. The last four steps will involve to help to fulfill the second commandment, and that's love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, the fundamental Baptists, sadly, they usually reverse that. They want to put the last first and God second. You say, how do you know that? I've been in that movement. I've been part of that. Okay, and so step number one, it's very simple. Step one, number one, is to listen to God. You and I need to listen to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, it calls it the communion of the Holy Ghost. You need to listen to Him. Now, how do you and I listen to God? The vast majority of the way God does speak through us is this blessed book. That perfect Bible right there. That's how God speaks to us. Often what God will do throughout your day, if a Bible verse comes to mind, that's the Spirit of God speaking to you through His Word. Now, some folks, you may have heard some people say, well, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that. Yes, that's the Lord will do that for us individually. If you can recognize His voice. Now, sometimes it's tough between telling the voice between the Lord or the devil or myself. If it's in agreement with a book, I pretty much can nail it down, the Lord speaking. And sometimes you can have a direct, you know, a real close fellowship with the Lord. Like last Wednesday, we have a little girl, you know, some little kids that are brought in vans by the Gilchrist. And one little girl, I gave her a Bible about a month ago, and she was really excited about it. She lost it last Sunday, couldn't find it. We looked around, couldn't find it. And Wednesday, she came to church, she said, you can't find my Bible. And she was concerned about it. And so I just walked in the auditorium. I said, Lord, help me to find her Bible. Went right to the pew, third pew from the front. There it was sitting right in the rack. And we looked in that same rack last Sunday. We looked in all those places. Now I asked her, I said, do you think that Bible walked away from you? I get to wonder sometimes. But you see how God speaks to you and I is through this book right there. That's how He speaks to us. In other words, you need to have, if you are going to follow the basics of the Christian life, the first and foremost thing is you have to read that book every single day. If there is not a time that you're reading that book sometime throughout that day, you just got to get in that book. Americans will spend more time reading a newspaper and believing the cotton-picking thing than read that book. If Americans would spend the equal amount of time of reading that book that they would read a newspaper, you would be surprised what would happen to this nation. You see, reading that book. Now, obviously, you go to the average Christian bookstore, you'll see a bunch of books on the shelf that say Holy Bible, and 90% of them are no more holy than they are a pig in a pen. And the thing is, a lot of these new Bibles come out, they say more people read the Bible because we got it more understandable. No, they don't. There's a poll that was just recently taken about people who actually read their Bible in America. And the question was, you know, do you consider yourself a faithful Bible reader, a continual Bible reader? And the next question was, okay, which Bible do you read? 80% of them that said that they do read the Bible, they read a King James Bible. The NIVers don't read it. They don't read it. If you doubt that, ask them to quote John 3:16 in the NIV. I have yet to have any of them do it. They don't memorize Scripture. They do not quote Scripture. They don't memorize it. They are flippant about it. And when you show them 16 verses that are actually removed out of the text, they'll say, so what? I've had them say it to me. So that's very basic. Read the Bible. Some churches will actually publish in their bulletin a daily Bible reading where people will encourage people to read a Bible through once in a year. And I think that's good, but not real impressive. To read the Bible through once in a year, all you have to do is read 3.5 chapters. If you're a slow reader, 15 minutes. 15 minutes. The devil doesn't mind that. Giving 15 minutes to listen to God and 23 hours and 45 minutes listening someplace else, that doesn't bother him. And you see, it's a daily time spent reading the Bible. You see, why get it from somebody else? Go right to the source yourself. You see, that's what we should do. Go right to the source ourselves. Listen to God. The second basic step, now if I spend 5 minutes on that, we're going to be here for a while. The others are going to go quicker. Step number two is you need to talk to God. Okay, let God talk to you, and then you turn around and talk to Him. Be it audible, be it in your heart, be it by yourself. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to hold your hands just so. Anyway, talk to that God. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Talk to that God. Now, I would suggest the first thing you need to talk to that God about is after you or during reading this Bible, I would say talk to Him at the same time. And while you're reading this book, say, huh? I don't get this. Lord, I don't understand. Would you help me out? That's when you'll get something. Talk to the author about explaining that book. Now, if we got 2 ears and 1 mouth, I would think we would need to read that book twice as much as we pray. But I think the Lord would take any prayer. Now, we have in our hymn book, I think we've read this, or sang this song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ was appalled with His disciples because they couldn't pray an hour. And a person says, what do you pray about for in an hour? And I understand that. We Americans are in a big hurry. But I would encourage you to get a prayer list. Write the things down. And then pray with somebody. Thursday nights? Okay, if you can't attend Thursday nights, then pray with somebody. My wife and I pray together, usually before we go to bed, and often in bed. Whoever's the most tired often prays first, so they can fall asleep on the second one. But most of the time, we're wide awake asking God to help us and bragging about that God. There's been times, yeah, we fell asleep. Okay, but spend some time. When you pray with somebody, you see, if you're both focusing on God, God's up at the top, and you're both getting closer to God, you're getting closer to each other at the same time. When you pray with somebody, there's a bond there. And I know you feel uncomfortable maybe if you're not used to that, but the more you do that, just talk to God the way you talk to anybody else. Pray to that God. Now, the third basic step is to allow God to perfect your communication. Allow God to perfect your communication. What do I mean by that? In Romans chapter 8, it says that the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, becomes your intercessor. He intercedes your prayers. Why? Because we don't know what to pray for. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, he says, let me get the thing right down, Pat. Flip that thing around there. The Spirit of God will be our intercessor where He intercedes for us so that we get the right prayers there. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So like a little kid, you know, saying, I'd like to drive that. Can I drive, Daddy? How old are you? 7. Maybe another year or so you can. That's in the old days. That's when you're dating yourself, you could do that. You can't do that nowadays. Funny, I don't know if my dad was 14 years old when he got stopped by a cop. The cop asked him how long he was driving. He said, 6 years? That was many moons ago. Okay, but there are some things that you're going to ask God. If you look at your prayer list, you're going to think God's Santa Claus. Lord, please change this circumstance. And Lord, please change this circumstance. And I don't like how this is going. Lord, please change this one. And the God in heaven says, no, I don't think so. No, no, you're doing fine there. No, we need to leave that one there. Allow God to correct our communication. Allow God to help our communication get better. Clear out the static. Now, the interceder, the one who intercedes for us in our prayers is very simple, something like this. When you pray to the Lord, Lord, I'm coming to you through the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He is my God. And I'm asking the Spirit of God to intercede for me because I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm asking you to help me. And then a spirit can step in and take over. No, you're not going to go hush, untie, tie, bow tie, and all that kind of garbage. You're going to pray with your understanding. You're going to understand what's going on. And the Spirit of God will help you. Not only that, if he can help correct your Bible study, the Spirit of God is the interpreter of the Bible. Not only does he intercede in our prayers, he interprets the Bible for us. I don't interpret the Bible. The Catholic Church does not interpret the Bible. In fact, the first Pope Peter said that. But they don't listen to him. They pay attention to him at all. You see, the problem with churches nowadays is like the Jewish culture. You talk to the Jewish people, they don't know the Talmud. They don't know the Torah. They listen to the Jewish rabbi. He does the interpreting for them. The Catholic Church, the priest does the interpreting for them. The Baptist, well, the preacher does the study for me. That's about like the mother bird going out and finding a worm and then bringing it to you. Or some birds where they actually bring it in and then upchuck and then give it to the baby boy. Well, doesn't that sound tasteful? Most of our feeding should be done on our own. And so allow God to interpret for us. Now, God is patient with our ignorance, but God does not remain patient with our willful ignorance. There's a time we got to grow up. Now, allow God to perfect our communication with him so that our prayers become more scriptural, more biblical, more in tune with God, where our will gets in line with God's will. Now, those three steps right there would help our first relationship with our Lord, and if we do that every single day, fellowship with him. The next four will help with that second commandment, and the fourth step is to faithfully go to a Bible-believing church. You say, well, if they're too far away. Well, that's between you and the Lord. Now, most of you here don't travel. I'm probably one to travel, as you know, most of the farthest. But even at that, now, the Rensselaer Church, we have folks that travel great distance. Now, I recognize, like the Venegones, they drive an hour and 15 minutes to get to church. Sunday morning, I recognize Wednesday night's kind of tough for them, and I don't see them on Wednesday nights. Or maybe on Sunday nights, but if you can travel to a Bible-believing church, say on Sunday morning, on a Sunday night, you can't do that, have a time alone with your family where you have a time together and pray together. Okay, the thing is attend a good Bible-believing and be faithful to that. Now, of course, the Fundamental Baptists, because they want to keep track of all the numbers, that's a big thing with them. But you see, the real purpose of that is you get some visual aid, you get encouragement from others. When you're down, somebody can be a blessing to you. When you're up, you can be a blessing to somebody else. Plus, you can learn in a short time what maybe took somebody else a long period of time to do. Now, we have a family down there in Rensselaer that just, I mean, faithful, 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 faithful. I mean, faithful, they got a big F stack, you know, right on their forehead. I mean, Dad works all night. He worked all night last night, and he's there. Now, he may be sleeping half the time, but he's there. I respect them, family. I respect that very much so. When I grew up, I don't ever remember asking the question, are we going to church, Dad? Just wasn't asked. Why? Faithfulness. To me, it is a shame that the postmaster is more faithful delivering man's mail than believers are to God's mail. Now, granted, I'm not one of those that you should, you know, where he expects you there all the time. I don't care if you're sick. If you're sick, stay home. I don't want your barf. We've had that in church. It kind of disrupts the service. Okay, but if the Lord leads you, find a good Bible-believing church. And I know they're hard to find. and be faithful. Why? So you can be a blessing to others. It's an encouragement to others. Step number five is talk to God for others. Pray for others. Now, of course, we know the typical Baptist prayer request. Oh, wait till you hear about this one. I got something I want you to pray about. No, pray to God for others. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul, this is a great prayer of Paul's for the people in Ephesus. And if we would pray for each other, he says this in Ephesians 1, 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I tell you, we're all in this battle together. And when one gets wounded, instead of kicking them, help patch their wound. Talk to God for others. Learn to pray by praying with others. You know, it was a joy to me last Thursday, Brother Glenn and I prayed together. And that is such a joy to pray with somebody, because you have a close bond together. You say, I feel uncomfortable. Yeah, we all feel uncomfortable doing something at first. But learn to pray with somebody. You say, I don't care if you make it short. Just start somewhere to pray with somebody. Husband and wives, you should be praying together. I mean, the pressure that is put on young people today, us older folk need to be praying for them. The pressure put on them is 10 times fold more than it put on us. And these young people need prayer. Jan and I, we went down to Wednesday night down in Rensselaer. We try to, you know, either go street preaching in Rensselaer, Podunk, Rensselaer, or maybe DeMott, or knock on doors. We went down to Woolkit. I mean, when you've been in that area for 20-some years, we've knocked on the doors of Woolkit, Monon, Mount Airy. You can do in 2 weeks. Two different Wednesdays. I mean, that's just a puny little town. You know, DeMott, we've been to all these places. Rensselaer probably, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. I don't know how many times you keep knocking on these doors. I know there's a turnover, but we went down to Woolkit. We came across an elderly lady, 91 years old. She's talking about their church where they're probably going to shut the doors. They're debating about shutting the doors down. A little Baptist church in Woolkit. I think a Bible believer needs to get in there and kind of infiltrate. They don't know what to do. Just older folks. And then she said something about praying. I'm a prayer warrior. Boy, we wrote a list for a widow to be praying. Boy, it was a blessing to be around her. It wasn't that she felt like she wanted, oh, I'm glad you gave this to me. She wanted to pray. You see, pray to God for others. Step six is to talk to others about God. Talk to other people about the Lord. Now, you got various ways of doing this. Learn to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 8, this church in Rome, Paul said this about, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. You say, I'm bashful. Nobody's more bashful than I am growing up. And I have to make myself. Last night, we went down to Purdue, went down street preaching. I'll be honest with you. I did not want to go. I wanted to stay home. And on the way down, Lydia was with us, Lydia Gilchrist. And boy, she just encouraged me. Just listening to her talk about the Lord and about the kids that she helps bring to church. And on the way down, about halfway the way down, I started going, Lord, thanks for encouraging me in this. Boy, it was a blessing to be down there. You have all sorts of ways of doing it where you could send a gospel tract through the mail. Some people do that. You can help pay for a missionary who's doing the work elsewhere where you can't do it. The Ottoman's got a billboard. Man, they're witnessing 24 hours a day. The county stopped there for a while, but the Lord's going to work on them for that. But here they got going on 24 hours a day witnessing for the Lord. You know, pass out tracts. You can do it on a street corner. You can do it by yourself. You can do it one-on-one. somehow, some way. The way to do it is start asking people questions. That's how to do it. You know, ask them, have you ever thought about this? What are you, a Bible thumper? Well, I'm asking you. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about that? Man, we need to think about these things. Start talking to people about God. The Mormons are talking about their pagan God. The Jehovah's Witnesses are out there talking about their foolishness. You see, the thing is, I'm not saying you may not have to knock on doors publicly, but yet begin somewhere talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, when they asked John the Baptist, who are you, John? You know what he said? He said, I'm a voice. I'm a voice. You know, put a magnetic sticker in your car. People think I'm crazy. Who cares what they think? I think they're crazy. You know, I was down there at Purdue Street preaching. A girl walked by the telephone, on her cell phone. Oh, I just walked by a bunch of nuts. And I said, at least I'm screwed in the right bolt. You know, and so they think we're nuts. I think they are absolutely nuts getting drunk. One step from hell. Or if they're saved, you say, they're all going to hell. No, they're not all going to hell. Some of those are saved kids. One step from death, faith in Jesus Christ. And where did I just come out of? Hello? Oh, my, ashamed of myself. You ought to be, child. You took me in that mess. I was in your body. Begin to talk about Jesus Christ to others. Yeah, I have a friend. He was a pastor. Wife left him. Got discouraged. Got out of the ministry. Got depressed. When I found out about this, I called him up. I was going to try to encourage him. He depressed me. He was about ready for a nut house. It hurt him bad. It hurt him bad. He got in a bar one time. And this guy sitting next to him in the bar had his church bulletin. And the church bulletin had this church name and it said founder so-and-so. He looked over him and said, is that you? Yeah. The coincidence of that. Yeah, that's me. What happened to you? Hate to tell you. That got him back in church. Got him back on the top, you know, where he's doing something for the Lord. You see? Talk to others about God. And step 7 is allow God to perfect your communication to others. When you get talking to others about God, they're going to ask you questions that you don't know the answer. That shouldn't bother you. That shouldn't bother you at all. You see, yeah, they may know a topic, they may know this one verse, but don't let that worry about it. I don't care if you have the right answer for every single question. Some people, many people, will not take what you say. They're not gonna. I don't care if you have the perfect answer. And the Spirit of God bore witness to that answer. They got a free will, they got to accept or reject themselves. All we're responsible to do is to perfect our talk with them. Perfect what we can say to get it down in a precise science. And often you can say things to people just spur of the moment. Boy, it's hot as hell, isn't it? Oh, I didn't know you believed in hell as hot. I sure hope you're not going there, my friend. You talk about doing damage. That's a witness. One fellow years ago down at Rensselaer, he asked me, I hadn't seen him for a while. He said, Dave, how you been doing? I said, okay. And he said, how's the world treating you? And I said, horrible. He just kind of, I said, but the Lord sure is treating me good. And boy, that man, that got him. You see? Guys in jail would often, when I'd visit jail, to ask me what time is it, I'd say, time to get saved. You ready? And they quit asking me what time it was. You see, and you realize if you ask God to open the door that you can witness to somebody, you'll be surprised what he does. You'll be surprised some of the most odd things people say that you would have never expected them to say. And that's what the Lord, you know what the Lord did? He kicked that door open and he's waiting. You going to go in? Come on, say something. You see, and the Lord will do this. Here's the prayer that I often pray. Lord, please give me the right word. at the right time to the right person with the right spirit. And you'll be surprised, sometimes just a very little phrase that you could say to somebody can really encourage them and get them thinking. And the only way that can be done is because I don't know what people have been through. I don't know their past. I don't know what they've been through in many cases. But the Spirit of God knows everything. And He knows how to put in your heart the words to say to that person. You don't have to be an extrovert and people-type oriented person. You can do it in this personality that God gave you. And just use the personality God gave you just to speak up for Him. Just to brag about Him. To brag about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. There's nobody more worthy of that than Jesus Christ. If a person just knows those seven basic steps, very simple steps, there's going to be a day they're standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think they're going to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And be such a joyous time. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray You'd help us to recognize very simple things. If all believers, Christians in this country right now, just did what they know they're supposed to do. I mean, if they learned nothing new from the Bible and they just did what they were supposed to do right now, what a revival would break out. Amazing what would happen in this country. But it just seems like over and over and over and over. And Lord, I just pray You'd help us, each and every one of us, first and foremost, to begin to listen to You. And if somebody by chance in this room is not born again, is not saved, they don't know what that means, I pray that they would see the need of finding that out, to begin a relationship with You, to talk to You, to listen to You, to allow You to perfect our communication, to start speaking up, to be around people who love You, to fellowship with them. And Lord, we're looking forward to the day to seeing You face to face. And oh, let it be today. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, the instruments will play, the altar's open if you need it. These are very basic. Nothing new or fancy about it. No new secret. No mysterious doctrine of the Bible. No spectacular doctrine where we can go, "Ooh, look at that Bible. You know, that's just amazing." It's very simple. Start listening to God. Be faithful listening to Him. Talk to Him. And as you fellowship, get that communication perfected between you and the Lord. And the more that's perfected, then start, if that gives you such a joy, then that joy can bleed out to others. And so you might begin to witness others about that great relationship that you have, that joy that you have with the Lord. And you get more proficient in your speaking to people, one-on-one, one-on-two. Ask the Spirit of God to give you the right words at the right time with the right spirit to the right person. Lord, thank You for a blessed book You've given us. This book's an amazing book. Phenomenal book. Lord, I'm in awe of this book. It has very many amazing doctrinal truths, some things that are just mind-boggling. But Lord, I do pray You'd help us to remember the basics and to be a faithful witness for Thee and be an encouragement to others. And Lord, more than anything, to be a blessing to You. In Jesus' name, amen.